no idea. I just think that the fact that I did so much theater and I loved language, right, and I spent a lot of my youth or childhood sitting on the porch with my grandfather at night listening to radio drama. So I learned how to use words, or what the power of words or the rhythm or beauty or music in telling a story actually was, you know, and I loved doing it. And my grandfather would tell me stories and he would make me make up stories to tell him. So I learned to do that through listening to Sergeant Preston of the Yukon and Andy Griffith tell stories, or, you know, The Shadow or The Whistler.
And this story about the football game in Carolina. You remember that story Andy Griffith told? Wonderful story about what they call, what it was football.
Yeah.
You know. So where did you grow up? Where
Chattanooga, Tennessee.
And did you decide there that, man, what I want to do is where I can use language?
I did not decide that there, because that was not one of the career options I was ever given. In terms of being a wordsmith or doing that, you know, you were taught you want to grow up and have a reputable job, teacher, lawyer, doctor, preacher. So when I said I was going to be an actor, it kind of shocked everybody. My mom said, "So what are you going to do for a living?"
Yeah.
Until she saw my first commercial and she said, "Oh, you know, my son's an actor."
But what was the big break?
Big break, I guess. When I received, when they created Best Supporting Actor Award at the Cannes Film Festival, and I received the Palme d'Or for Jungle Fever, the call from Hollywood came up.
Spike Lee.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, that was a brilliant performance, too.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Well, you were.
I've done the research. So, yeah.
And so it was the movies rather than the theater after that.
Well, that was the goal.
Yeah,
you
always
know,
movies.
I watched movies all my life. I spent all my life going to the movies every Saturday. That's what I did. I sat in the movie theater all day long.
Saying, I want to be up there on that screen?
I didn't know I wanted to be up there. I know I enjoyed the stories. I know I enjoyed going home, doing the movie that we'd seen with my friends, and putting our guns on and playing, you know, John Wayne or Roy Rogers or whoever, or running from Frankenstein or Dracula or King Kong or Godzilla. We played all those games, or making bow and arrows and being Robin Hood. We did those things.
But here's what Quentin says. You're the only actor he will let play with his dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
You're the only guy
that
he'll allow to even touch his stuff.
Yeah.
So that why should I be surprised, you're saying?
I don't know. I don't know that that's a surprise. I do know that when I read something he's written and I've thought about the character and I've analyzed it, I read the script endlessly. I read it over and over and over and over again. And then by the time we start rehearsal, I have an idea of who physically the character is, because I try and make that up and talk to Quentin about who I think he is physically, so we have that conversation. So that,
like,
when,
what does he wear, how he walks, everything?
Yeah, what he wears, what his hair looks like, you know, all those things that I like to make up for a character. I have that discussion with him, so that when I'm visualizing the character, when I start to read the script for the, I don't know, 25th time, I have that character. I can see him on screen in the film. And as I see him and I read the words, then I realize, okay, if this person is saying it, he would say it this way. So I make a note. I don't just willy-nilly show up on Quentin's set and say something that he hadn't written. So you go, wait, what is that? I'll go to him and say, look, I know what you mean here, but you ought to say it this way. And he'll say, well, read what I wrote. Okay, and say it the way you want to say it. Okay, I like it. Keep it.
If his ear likes it, he'll keep it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Keep it. Or he'll say, no, say it the way I wrote it.
And you accept that?
Yeah.
You don't argue for it?
Mm-mm.
Now, the way this character's dressed, it's winter, it's cold.
Yes.
Really cold.
Yes.
Was that the costume that you imagined?
We went through several iterations of that costume because he actually lives on that mountain. Right. So at one point, Quentin had envisioned him as more of a mountain man. So he had on a different coat, and he had leggings on that were made of fur and all this other stuff. In my mind, I'd seen him as Lee Van Cleef for a very long time.
Yeah.
So when he finally got to the Lee Van Cleef thing, I was like, okay, now we're finally on the same page. The black suit, the white